target of 10%. You'll get access to tools to help you conserve, and you can track your progress online. Visit bchydro.com/teampowersmart to join today. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Hi, my name's Matthew. When I first got back from a military tour in Afghanistan, anytime I heard a siren or even a car alarm, I'd lose it completely. I would turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. People would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I have friends and helpers who understand me. I landed a decent job. But I gotta admit, I still don't like car alarms or sirens. I used to think mental illness was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
Last year, over 650 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
You're listening to CITR FM 101.9,
radio that comes to you from the University of British Columbia.
The first few minutes of tonight's Randophonic are dedicated to bureaucracies everywhere, because rules is rules. The solid time of change starts shortly. In the meantime,
when we are young, enthusiastic, and full of hope, it is difficult to listen to the voice of reason.
The whole world is made up of chemicals, Mike.
Your reality is already half video hallucination.
And there's a lot of other side effects. And difficulty thinking and learning.
If their memory is bad, no wonder they can't learn.
You pothead, stop praying!
A person who uses marijuana a lot develops an I don't care attitude toward life. The drug becomes more important to them than anything.
It came to him that he said he suddenly realized that he didn't belong to himself. He didn't have the right to do away with himself. He had acquired certain pieces of useful information and that he was obliged to use those.
Jeez. Jeez. Jeez.
Of money.
No. Money is too expensive to be earned that way, Oscar.
I don't need you.
Continue. It was a golden age. There was no war, no misery. Men were close to the gods.
A dream of perfection, of images larger than life, of machines more sensitive than the ears they play to.
We are in a period of fantastic change. That's coming about at fantastic speed.
Define progressive rock as an odd and complicated genre of music that only a few people can enjoy because it has to be appreciated with a very mature audience.
And some supernatural anesthetic, a waiting room, anyway,
a whole lot of never-ending change,
a heeding of the siren's call, a very long poem, all this and more on installment number 49 of The Solid Time of Change.
And if it's true...
Also known as the 661 greatest records of the so-called prog rock era, Randophonic's overlong yet incomplete history of whatever the hell happened between 1965 and 1979, not in all music, not even in most of it, but definitely, significantly, a bunch of it.
Journey of exploration.
Which gets us to number 12. Because that's where we are, 649 down, 12 to go. And truth be told, we've only actually got three things lined up this evening.
Serious state of affairs.
One of which contains four titles, another of which is the single longest selection on the entire list, so much so that it has broken us at the seams. Made a mockery of all attempts at continuity, but more on that when we get to it. Number 12, greatest single record of the entire Solid Time of Change is Yes.
Yes.
Even more Yes. The aptly named Perpetual Change.
Yes.
Which, yes, as a matter of fact, is entirely appropriate, or as a wise guy said some years ago to Philip Random, the big problem with Yes was never Yes themselves.
Yes.
They were just doing what they were doing, superlatively fusing pop and rock and classical and jazz and TV themes and whatever other elements felt relevant and within their grasp. And let's face it, pretty much everything was within their grasp once they got all the right players in all the right places. But somewhere along the line, Yes, more than anyone else, nailed this expansive and forward-thinking innovation so distinctively that progressive ceased to be an adjective and became instead a noun. Rounded down to prog, now meaning not how music-making might be approached, but what it ought to sound like.
Progressive rock!
If you don't know what progressive rock is, I'll quickly explain it to you. It's basically music based on concepts, long instrumental passages, virtuoso playing, and the songs are usually very long.
Seriously, what is prog rock, and does it somehow differ from progressive rock? Or for that matter, rock that merely progresses? These may seem simple questions, but they are in fact doors that open unto some of the most complex mysteries of this split atomic age. case there's any confusion, it's what we're doing. It's why we're here.
To listen.
Not just answering that question, immersing ourselves in it, going deep, going high, going over long into whatever it even was, whatever was happening. It was happening too fast, too voluptuously, too magically to do anything but listen, really. To that moment in solid time when there really was no difference between what the records sounded like and the progress they were making.
I wonder.
Or so it seemed at the time, the solid time of change. Solid time of change.
1964.
Anyway, back to the number 12 selection on the countdown. Yes's Perpetual Change, originally found on 1971's The Yes album, but truly taken to the edge live a year later, February sometime, probably at the Academy of Music in New York City, as heard on the Triple Live album, Yes Songs. The key point being that unlike most of Yes Songs, which was recorded later in 1972 during the Close to the Edge tour, after Bill Bruford had split for King Crimson, he's still in the band here.
What's your name, son?
And now we're quoting Philip Branham. And they do rather set sail here, not just because of Bruford, of course. You also had new guy Rick Wakeman on board, filling all previous gaps with his Technicolor touches. Not to mention Steve Howe making two hands and 10 fingers sound like at least 5 times as many. Or Squire and Anderson, for that matter. The tightest band on the planet at the time, bouncing back and forth from improvised bits to insanely abrupt changes, on and on, higher and deeper, until...
Serious state of affairs.
Well, the only real flaw, which is the drum solo. Not bad, just not necessary, like pretty much every other 1970s drum solo, so it gets chopped in this edit, which I should point out does include some early chunks from the original studio recording of Perpetual Change, mainly just to point out that there was nothing particularly wrong with it.
People have bought these products.
But yes, we're built to be first and foremost a live experience, and here in perpetuity is proof.
Many ones.
parts of me. As truth is gathered, I rearrange inside out, outside in, inside out, outside in, perpetual change. And there you are, saving me.
It matters to me that you're impressed.
You're listening to Randophonic on CITR FM 101.9, a radio that comes to you from the University of British Columbia. And we thank them for that, all the students, all the staff, all the faculty, all the alumni, everybody who continues to allow us to do the things that we do with the radio airwaves pretty much every Saturday night, starting at 11 p.m. and then moving onward and outward and inward and everywhere that we need to go to do what we need to do, which of late has been the solid time of change. An extended journey through the past, Randophonic's overlong yet incomplete history of the so-called prog rock era, 1965 through 1979. Presented in countdown form, 661 selections with which we hope to do justice to what was a rather fecund and spectacular time, musically speaking, and speaking of, well,
I fall into a chasm.
What it's all about, perpetual change. That's what we just heard there. Yes.
Yes.
The number 12 selection on the countdown list.
Drawn between what is said and what is done.
Found on 1973's Yes songs, for the most part, that was in fact an edit of two different versions of Perpetual Change, also including some of the original. Found on 1971's The Yes album. And now we're quoting Philip Random. In fact, Perpetual Change may just be what started me in this whole solid time of thinking. Could have been the late 1980s sometime, when prog had never been deader. So much so that in music circles, it was pretty much obligatory just to dump on it. Which is what my friend Carl was doing over drinks or whatever, at some point likening Styx to Yes in the same 25 words or less. At which point I said, bullshit.
Yes.
You might as well compare Luxembourg to France. They're both found in Europe, after all, and are known for, well, who knows what Luxembourg is known for. My point is, call Yes what you will, just don't go saying something moronic like Come Sail Away is somehow equivalent to Perpetual Change, which is about what exactly?
Same, we look on as pawns of their game. They move to testify the day, inside out, outside in, all of the way.
My overall point being, the Styx stuff is middle school. Get stoned for the third time in your life. Ooh, poetry with music to match. A guy mistaking angels for aliens, or is it the other way around? The S, on the other hand, is who knows what, and brilliantly so, because everything is change perpetually, life, the universe, from the tiniest neutron to the gobsmacking vastness of a supernova 1,000 times the size of our particular solar system, or at least it was 10 billion years ago, because that's how f***ing far away it is, or was, or...
You said they don't have to give me...
Inside out.
Outside in.
Every day. Which is why there was never a chance in hell of there being any Styx on this list anywhere. And yet 7 Yes options cracked the top 30.
Whoa.
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 There's also a lot of Genesis toward the top of the list. The good stuff, the early stuff. In fact, we're about to hear 4 in a row. And it was almost 6. Wherein the argument gets made for The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, in spite of the almost complete indecipherability of its lyrics, being the greatest album of the time, possibly of any time, because of the music itself, the band and the singer achieving dizzying heights and depths of unprecedented richness, density, and strange beauty.
What does that mean?
Constantly. Except, well, bluntly, the final chapters, the last side of the album, everything past the point wherein Rail, the hero of the tale, has had his way with the Lamia, or perhaps they with him, and been reduced to yet another slipper man, a slubber de gullion on squeaky feet. There is, in fact, an entire colony of them. Well, it's just not as good as what came before.
What does that mean?
And we are quoting Philip Random by now. And this isn't just me not getting it. It's all there on the historic record, the palpable estrangement in the band at the time of The Lamb. Gabriel even quitting at one point, though he did come back.
This world for about a week.
But even then, he was in one room working on the words while the band was in another working on the music. Or, as Steve Hackett later explained, everybody had their own agenda. Some of us were married, some of us had children, some of us were getting divorced, and we were still trying to get it together out in the country. At a place called Headley Grange, to be specific, where Led Zeppelin had previously conjured Stairway to Heaven, among other heavy options. So yeah, tension everywhere, so much so that The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway would prove to be the end for Gabriel's tenure in Genesis, though it wouldn't be made official until after the tour was complete. And it's all in the music, I think, and mostly in a good way. All that tension making for one hell of a dramatic journey, regardless of how obscure things got. And indeed, up to the end of Side 3, the deeper we get into the warm blood of the Lamb, the better it all gets. Which makes Side 3 arguably as good as Genesis ever got, because they certainly didn't improve once Gabriel had left. Thank you, Philip. We're going to hear four straight from Side 3 of The Lamb, skipping the first track, Lily White Lilith, not because it's bad, it's just not as essential as what follows.
Doesn't seem much fun in blowing the whole job now, does that? Just as your skill in stealing...
So the waiting room it is, number 11 on the countdown, known as the Evil Jam while they were working on it. They being Tony Banks, Mike Rutherford, Phil Collins, Steve Hackett, the band.
It's down there anyway, I want to know.
The waiting room being the furthest they'd ever venture into the realm of sheer and blissful and frightening sonic alchemy. Recorded during a thunderstorm at Glasspant Manor, Camaronier, Wales. The band having moved on from Headley Grange, with hard rain and occasional rainbows visible out the window, and genuine thunderclaps cutting the mix. Thank you.
feel the pull on the rope, let me off at the rainbow. I could have been exploded in space, different orbits for my bones. Not me, just quietly buried in stones. Keep the deadline open. Won't be long, yeah. She's very late. Richer, he knows he must be near. He finds a long passageway lit by chandelier. Each step he takes, the perfumes change from familiar fragrance to flavors strange. A magnificent chamber meets his eye. Inside, a long rose water pool is shrouded by fine mist. Stepping in the moist silence, with a warm breeze he's gently kissed. Thinking he is quite alone, he enters the room as if it were his own. But ripples on the sweeping water reveal some company of order. Astonished, doubting his sight, struck by beauty, gripped in fright. Three
vermilion snakes, female face, the smallest motion filled with grace. Muted melodies fill the echoing hall, but there is no sign of warning in the siren's call. Rail, welcome, we are the Lamia of the Blue. We have been waiting for our waters to bring you cool. Him, he trusts in beauty blind. He slips into the nectar, leaving his shredded clothes behind. With their tongues they test, taste and judge all that is mine. They move in a series of caresses that glide up and down my spine. The fruit of my flesh, I feel no pain, only a magic that a name would stain. With the first drop of my blood in their veins, their faces are convulsed in mortal pains. The fairest cries, we all have loved you, Rael. Empty snake-like body floats, silence a room in empty boats. A sickly sourness fills the room, the bitter harvest of a dying bloom. Looking for motion, I know I will not find. A stroke that curls now turning pale, in which I'd lain entwined. Oh, Lamia, your flesh that remains, I will take as my food. It is the Santa, darling, that lingers on my chocolate fingers.
losing our livelihood, our self-respect. We've had enough.
You're listening to Randophonic on CITR. FM 101.9, radio that comes to you from the University of British Columbia. Working installment 49, the second to last of the Solid Time of Change, also known as the 661 greatest records of the so-called prog rock era. Adventure radio for not too cool teens, open-minded grown-ups, and reasonably smart 12-year-olds of all ages.
It's impossible.
Because wizards and mysteries, gods and battles, weird changes, visions of angels, glimpses of heaven, heavy concepts, vast chasms, ageless anthems, and golden dreams of hope and glory. And inevitably, whatever the hell is going on underneath the Broadway street scene of 1974...
Bit weird, this one.
Because that was a long visit, that last set, to The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, 1974. Genesis, four in a row that we heard there. Number eight selection on the list being The Lamia. Number nine, Here Comes the Supernatural Anesthetist. Before that, Anyway was number 10, and the set began with The Waiting Room. Number 11.
Bit weird, this one.
That being a fusion of the original studio recording and a live version recorded in Britain somewhere, 1975. And initially only available on the rare live release Odd Man Out, though it can now be found pretty much everywhere, thanks to the internet. The Waiting Room being that point in the tale of the Lamb, where in the ceiling of the tunnel, this is all going on underneath Broadway, remember, has collapsed around Rail, the hero of the piece. With the only way out, confusion it seems, or as the song Anyway, number 10, puts it. The rocks in time compress your blood to oil, your flesh to coal, enrich the soil, not everybody's goal. Does earth plug a hole in heaven, or heaven plug a hole in the earth? How wonderful to be so profound when everything you are is dying underground, which can only end in death or whatever, whoever the supernatural anesthetist is. What it is a few obscure vocal lines and then a musical eruption, the band again reminding us of just how fabulous they were in 1974. All giving way to the siren's call of the Lamia, half-human, half-snake female demons found in classical mythology. As Rail swallows some proffered liquid and a pale blue luminescence begins dripping from his skin, the Lamia proceeding to slide all over him with their long velvety tongues licking this luminescence, with Rail ultimately ceasing to be human at all, transformed into the aforementioned Slubberdegullion with squeaky feet.
What does that mean?
And so on, unto the comparatively disappointing conclusion of side four of the Lamb, but we've touched on that already.
What does that mean?
What is it all about, The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway? Perhaps the answer is the question, whatever that means. Or, and this is perhaps true of the next selection as well, maybe just smoke another dupe, put on the headphones, and listen to the whole thing one more time. You know you want to.
What does that mean?
Which gets us to the last selection for this, the penultimate installment of the Solid Time of Change, and it's a long one, the longest in the entire countdown, so much so that it's forced us to break continuity. Not the number 7 selection as it should be, but number 5, because there just wouldn't be room for it all next week. Which is when we'll get to number 7 and number 6, if that makes sense. It makes at least as much sense as Thick as a Brick, the song, and album in question. Indeed, the very song and album that first sucked Philip Random into the prog realm, not that he was clear on the terminology at the time. He still isn't. It was the sheer audacity of it that hooked 13-year-old Philip, a song that was an entire album long, 43 minutes, 46 seconds. His friend Joseph got it from his big sister for his birthday. But then his mum heard the line about the sperm in the gutter and it had to go, so Philip grabbed it, and thus was all of this set in motion. The number 5 selection being Thick as a Brick from 1972.
Jethro Tull.
It was supposed to be a lark, a piss take. It ended up conquering the world for a few weeks anyway in late spring of 1972. Number one in Australia, Canada, Denmark, the USA. Top five in the UK, Norway, Netherlands, Italy, Germany,